Welcome along. So we're done for La Liga 22-23. What a campaign it's been. Let's put the World Cup in the middle of every season. Valladolid took the last relegation slot, neglecting to have any shots on target at home to Getafe. Celta Vigo survived, beating Barca thanks to two goals from their young star Gabri Vega, who showed his class by falling over and crossing the ball in off the post. That'll add a few million onto his price tag. Almeria stood on the trapdoor for a while, but were saved by the VAR on the technicality of Ramazani having been cleaned out by the defender in the penalty area. Osasuna are in Europe next season after their favourite Ante came up with two crucial goals. All the games were competitive and no one needed to receive a suitcase full of cash. A late strike by Villarreal's Jorge Pascual condemned Atletico to third place. Thibaut Courtois' penalty save got Real Madrid a point against Athletic and made sure that the season finished fittingly with an insane handball decision. It's been an interesting year for La Liga referees, and by that I mean sort yourselves out, lads. Antonio Mateo Lahoz is gone, so the throne is vacant. Real Betis won the brutal battle for the most red cards with an impressive 15, and that's from a side that finished 19th in the fouls table. Atleti's Axel Witsel was shown the 139th and final red card of the season. Maybe La Liga should hire Anthony Taylor. Personally, I'd have put Joaquin for time-wasting the amount of time he took to get off the pitch when he was substituted for Betis. There'll be a lot of new faces in La Liga next season. Karim Benzema is actually leaving Real Madrid. Now, bear with me. I'm going to go on record here as saying that he was a better signing than Eden Hazard. Press like if you agree. A question for Real Madrid's hierarchy. What was it about Kai Havertz this season that made you think he could fill a Benzema-sized hole? We would like you to do a bit of managerial selection, get your teams of the season into us, and also your one player per club teams as well. We'll read them out and we will share them on Twitter as well. Driscoll FC, if you want to do it on Twitter, or if you're a Patreon, you can send them to us. You don't have to have Osasuna's David Garcia in the one club per team, but it would seem that that's a steer for anyone who's uncertain. Darren is one of our Patreons has sent us. So he's done a general 11, Ter Stegen, Ana Martinez at right back, Araujo, Eder Militao and Balde. That's his back four. His midfield is Oriol Romeu, Mikel Merino and Izzy Palathon. And then up front, Griezmann, Lewandowski and Vinicius. So he's halfway there, isn't he? Because he's got a smattering of clubs involved anyway.
Yeah.
One player per club, 11. Ter Stegen, Ana Martinez, Girona, David Garcia. It's a stalwart. Pau Torres, Fran Garcia. I think he's just about all of them have got him at left back. So lots of them have anyway. Guido Rodriguez, that's a good shout, isn't it? Betis midfielder. Mikel Merino.
Yeah, really good.
Gabri Vega is his midfield. Griezmann, Joselu of Espanyol and Vinicius Jr. He's done a manager of the season, Xavi, and a player of the season, which is Marc-André Ter Stegen. I will ask you that, actually, because Tapi was another Patreon, Terry, so I'll give you his. And then I'll ask you about... Tapi has asked a load of questions. I normally send them to you. They're quite hard questions, so I'll give you some... We'll do it in a bit. But he's done his team of the season, the whole team of the season. So again, Ter Stegen, Foyt, Araujo, Lenormand, who's done well, hasn't he? Balde, Busquets, Gabby Vega, Sanset, Vinny, Lewandowski, Griezmann. He says technically a 4-4-2, but I've shoehorned a midfielder wide. You can do any reasonable formation is fine. His team of the season, this is to be his whole team of the season, no restrictions. Ter Stegen, Foyt, David Garcia, Lenormand, Gaia. No, this is one player per team. Sorry, yeah. So do it again. One player per team. Ter Stegen, Foyt, David Garcia, Lenormand, Gaia, Alex Garcia, Sergi Dada, Gabri Vega, Izzy Palathon, Griezmann, and Vinny. That's what I really like about that is that he's got no centre forward in, which when people normally do their teams of the season, it's
three up front.
Yeah. And Benzema at left back or something, isn't it? But he's actually named a proper time Pep kind of
formation.
Team. He's going to go away from home and get a result with that team. Right. So there we are, Terry. Right. It's all over. The team that was third bottom finished third bottom, and the team that was seventh finished seventh, which I think is a betting tip, if nothing else, is it? If whoever's in possession of something going into the last round of games has a fair chance, they're going to hold it. But it wasn't bad. The relegation battle, we had different teams in there, didn't they, at different points?
Yes.
Almeria were going down at one stage.
Yes, they were. That was the dilemma, wasn't it? I'm just ticking those teams in my list of 10 games that were involved in the thick of the action. There was so many, wasn't there? So actually, the jeopardy and the drama wasn't as much as I anticipated. It all boiled down to the game via the Getafe and Almeria Espanyol. The rest of the games were sort of drifting away and everything seemed okay. The jeopardy was in if I did score, Getafe were probably going to go down. If Almeria had lost, then they might have gone down. You saw the reaction from the Valladolid fans when Espanyol went ahead, jubilation in the stadium, which didn't last long because Adrian Barba, as you said, it was a clear penalty. I mean, he got booked for diving, and you're thinking your instant reaction when a referee books someone for diving is well played, and then you see the replay, and you go, that's a
Did
penalty.
actually take him
So,
out. It took him massively, like massive knee on knee, hacked him to the ground, didn't he? Yeah.
clumsy challenge, no contact on the ball, stepped across the player. Yeah, there was significant. It was significant. It wasn't just contact, significant contact, and it was a penalty. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a penalty. So that was the right course of action. Before VAR, before we complain an awful lot about VAR, before VAR, that's a massive moment in La Liga. If the referee books him for diving, we haven't got VAR, Almeria lose that game, get relegated, and then we see, all the stuff that
That's a fair
happens
point.
after that. So
I'm still not in
VAR,
favour of it, but it was right that time, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
And it's, I mean, in general, it helps. But in
Yeah.
games like this on the last day of the season, when so much is riding on it, it did work. And
Yeah.
it got the right decision in the end. Kind of summed up Espanyol. They conceded three goals against the team. They struggled to do anything away from home. They ended up Espanyol with the worst defence in the league. But Valladolid, astonishing that they went into that game knowing a win would get them. And Getafe were their usual self. It's 80% possession Valladolid had and not a shot on target. So just the sheer, the statistically, if you have that much possession, they had 15 shots, none on target. You've got to get the ball in the box a lot of times, haven't you? You'd hope with 80% possession, but it appears that the 15 shots were off target, were from distance. They
Yeah.
didn't
Oh,
penetrate the penalty
the
box.
XG was 0.9, so those 15 shots
Yeah.
were none of them was a chance.
No. And it summed it up at the end of the game when they put the goalkeeper forward for they had a free kick, I think just over the 15 meters over the halfway line out wide. And the goalkeeper, Jordi Masip, goes up and they take it short and they try and work something else. And then it eventually goes out for a corner, but the referee doesn't give them time to take it. And you're thinking, that was your chance. I don't blame the referee for saying no. You had a chance to put the ball in the box.
Honestly, I think you deserve to be relegated for thinking that the referee has to add on time for a
For another
corner
corner.
because he's
Yeah.
already added, he's let you have the free kick, and then it goes,
Yeah.
what's it, how long is he going to let it go on for?
So there was going to be someone, there was going to be scenes, wasn't there, of someone, supporters and players being sad. And for Valladolid, it was unfortunately it fell upon them. The others just about scraped through. There'll be some that we can look at that and recognise. Good job done. Almeria, newly promoted, they've survived. Well done. Valencia, massively underachieved and just scraped through. I mean, they ended up 2 points above the relegation zone in a 38-game season. That's nowhere near good enough. Cadiz, I think, yeah, job done. I think, again, survival is their aim. So, and Getafe, I think, have underachieved this year with the players and the squad they've got, but they've managed to stay back in La Liga, and we'll see what happens with them as a club next season, whether Bordalas stays or not. But making that change, taking out Kiko Sanchez Flores, bringing in Bordalas, had the desired impact. And there's no Enesunal going into that game. Last couple of games was a blow, but they managed to survive. And it's interesting, looking at some of the teams now, put ticks and crosses and a line across them to say par for the course. And some teams had some really good seasons this year, but there are obvious candidates for teams that have underperformed.
Celta Vigo, obviously an underperforming team, isn't it? They got away with it in the end, didn't they? Two goals by Gabri Veiga, and crying off at the end suggests that he's not around. He's not there for.
It's a new phenomenon, isn't it? This massive wave of emotion. I get it for Joaquin.
Yeah.
I get it. It's the end of a career. But it's almost like a rush now for players to decide their future before the last game so they can have... I mean, Jordi Alba and Busquets weren't even at the game yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still playing for Barcelona. They're still under contract. But they said their farewells in the last home match and they're not even in the squad for the game yesterday. This, you know, it's still part of... They haven't left Barcelona yet. They had a season to finish.
Do your job.
And lots of players, you know, players giving a big send-off and stuff like that. And we're still not sure if they're leaving. Gabri Veiga falls into that category that maybe a club doesn't pay the 40 million buyout clause.
Yeah.
You know, and Celta don't have to accept anything less. But it is, that is the way it is now. There's this massive clamour to make sure that you get the send-off. I get it in some cases, like Joaquin and Benzema, obviously, but we are seeing other players getting a big send-off.
Well, Real Madrid players did the whole chuck them up in the air thing, didn't they? And obviously Benzema went first. And then they did Asensio. And then it goes to Eden Hazard. And then you sort of, does he?
Yeah.
800 million for him. It's hard to kick the ball. I'm doing it for him. And then Mariano Diaz at the end. Okay, so he's off as well. Yeah. Like you say, this is how clubs, the transfer news is conveyed now.
Exactly.
So who gets thrown up in the air at the end of the game. So we assume, it looks like Hazard, and there's talk of him retiring, isn't there?
Yeah, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've been really disappointed with how that's worked out.
Yeah.
Who's to blame? I don't know. Part the player, part the management, part the club. But it's when they signed him, I had no doubt he was a Galactico signing. And it just didn't work out from day one. And injuries have played a part. I did wonder, I did read recently, he made a statement saying he was not leaving. He was going to stay out and see the last year of his contract. That was a lot. Obviously, a tactic to make Real Madrid think, oh, God, really? Are we going to have to pay him all that money? He's the highest paid player at the club. Another year. So, obviously, it was to force them into a corner to decide what to do and to pay him up some of the deal to see if he would walk away and negotiate a settlement, which has been the case. I kind of thought, when he said that, I was disappointed because I thought, and I can remember not playing at a club, you know, and not being picked on a quite regular basis. And I kind of felt humiliated every day, to be honest. Going in and being, you're training over there, the players that played yesterday are training over there, and you're training over there with the reserves and the young ones or whatever. And it knocks the stuffing out of you, to be honest. And I couldn't switch off. I couldn't just resign myself to the fact, this is what it is. I'm going to stay at Man United for another 3 years and do this every day. I couldn't do it. He seems, when he said that, he seemed quite happy to accept the fact that I'm going to get paid a load of money. He's had a really good career, fantastic career, but this is how it's going to end. I'm going to end it with just staying here for another year and use Real Madrid as a place to keep fit and see how my contract and take all this money. But he didn't. So there was a deal to be done. And it's sad.
I guess we need to know how fit he is.
I'd like to see him play on.
Yeah, but it's your body in the end, isn't it? As you found, you know, there just comes a point at which it's too painful. It's more painful than it is fun. And
yeah,
doesn't need the money, does he? So,
and it'd be interesting to see what happens now.
Yeah,
I would love in the future to see Hazard turn it back on again for someone, play on a regular basis, get fit. Yeah. And I don't think he's ever going to be the player that he was at Chelsea and his prime playing for Belgium. But I'd like to see him. I want to see more of Eden Hazard playing.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen at Real Madrid.
Yeah, Asensio, there was talk of Aston Villa, but it seems PSG now. I mean, you can see why. What interest you in PSG? Yeah, I can see why.
I could see Aston Villa as well, though.
Be more of a challenge.
Playing for a Spanish manager.
Yeah.
They're playing in the Premier League, playing for a team that's improving.
Mm.
There are other players at Villa that he would know from Spanish football.
Mm.
So I could see the attraction of that. And every now and then you get a club that's going in the right direction that starts attracting different players for different reasons. It's a big club, Aston Villa as well. It really is a big club. So I could see that. But then when PSG come in, I guess financially they blow Villa out of the water.
Yeah.
Whereas Villa were blowing everyone else out of the water until PSG come along.
Yeah.
So that would have been the attraction with Villa that, oh yeah, oh, Aston Villa, they're paying this much because the Premier League does.
Yeah,
but obviously PSG come along.
The big one is Benzema going, which we discussed the other day in the Patreons podcast, but we probably haven't discussed it well with the wider class since it was guaranteed, since he said he was off, and that's it. I can see why at his age, you know, he's had a
What was the amounts? 345 million.
Is that right? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't got
over 2 years, and you're thinking, of course he's going to go. He's 36. He's 14 seasons at Real Madrid. There's nothing left for him to achieve in club football. Of course he's he wouldn't go. I mean, no one can blame him. But it's come out of the blue, isn't it? That's the problem for Real Madrid.
Sort of. But you and I have discussed the need to address this. And it was always with a view to, will it be... probably might be a year down the line and all of that. And then suddenly, yeah, obviously, it's an eye-watering change. So, for me, you might not like it as a Spurs fan, but for me, it opens the gap perfectly in time and timing and everything for Harry Kane to give up on that, beating Alan Shearer's Premier League era record or whatever his ambition in life is. Go and play for perfect signing for both parties, isn't it?
Yeah, and for Spurs, it means he doesn't go to another Premier League club.
Yeah.
Business in the past with Real Madrid in similar circumstances with Gareth Bale and Luka Modric. But when I've been to Clasicos and you go, and I've been lucky to go and watch Clasicos and work on Clasicos, you're in that stadium, and I've been to other big games and played in a Manchester derby and a North London derby. And you go to a Clasico and you think, and I saw Gareth Bale and I'm thinking, my God, what must it be like to play in the Bernabeu or at the Camp Nou? In one of those Clasicos where the whole of the world that like football are watching those games. And it is the biggest club game in world football. And to think you're running out, and when you're in those stadiums, if you're playing at home, 95% of the stadium are backing you. It's a different level. Now, Harry Kane is recognised around the world as one of the best strikers in the world. But if and I hate saying this because I'm a Spurs fan. Spurs is my team. But it takes it onto a whole nother level if you go and become the number nine of Real Madrid and start scoring the goals the amount of goals you've been scoring for Spurs. It takes you onto a whole different level. And it'd be interesting to see. Ancelotti likes him. He seems to convince Florentino Perez that he's the right person. I think they wanted Mbappe. They were hoping that Benzema would get them through to maybe a different scenario at PSG with Kylian Mbappe. That's the one that they want. But this is so that when I say it's come out of the blue in terms of they didn't have a plan for this summer to replace Benzema.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if it puts it in jeopardy, the Jude Bellingham deal. That's a similar amount of money I think most of that has been agreed but not signed off. And it was agreed and not signed off prior to Benzema deciding to move on.
Yeah.
So have they got another 100 million on top of Bellingham? Probably, but does it fit in with financial fair play in La Liga? I don't know. So it's turned into quite a drastic summer for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Although Bellingham was going to be the only big addition.
Yeah.
And it was good. You could see where the planning was coming from with the older midfield players moving, at some stage moving on. And the new generation of midfielders taking on the reins, and then suddenly you got no Benzema. Oh, we haven't even got a standing at all. Talking about Hossolu coming in, so it's a drastic summer now for Real Madrid.
Almost out of the blue, isn't it? As I say, you sort of should have been thinking about it, but then also thinking that if they might think we'll get Mbappe in a year, and that's fine. That is the plan.
Yeah.
Then suddenly you're not getting Mbappe now, I presume, unless they really shock us all and do that deal. But yeah, it's fascinating, and they have to sign somebody. They have to get...
It's a small list, isn't it, John? About who can be that player?
Yeah,
I've got it as two men, Osimhen and Harry Kane.
Yeah,
they're realistic. They're proving to be, and Osimhen is your classic centre forward. Harry Kane is more like Benzema in terms of dropping deep and getting more involved in the play. So Harry Kane is the obvious one. Spurs have got a dilemma that They've got to get him to sign a new deal or sell him, in my opinion, because he's got next year, that's the last year on his contract. And it's, I know Spurs and Premier League clubs have money, but no club can afford to use Harry Kane next year with him knowing he's going to be leaving and maybe miss out, lose £100 million asset. So it's, I know Premier League clubs have ridiculous amounts of cash, but from a business perspective, that's not ideal. So, and who knows what Harry Kane's mood is going to be next year with the last year on his contract. So I would love Harry Kane to sign a new deal. That would be my first hope. And that keeps away Real Madrid of him being Benzema's replacement. And then he stays at Tottenham and continues to do what he does. But if he's not going to sign a new contract, then I believe Spurs have to cash in. And if as a Spurs fan, being totally biased, I'd rather engage Real Madrid than Chelsea or Man United or anyone else in the Premier League. So it'd be interesting to see what his mindset is. The Premier League goalscoring record, I don't care about that at all, because there are other players that have scored more goals than Alan Shearer in the top five English football, but it's just this Premier League era that Jimmy Greaves got 300 goals or 300 and something goals. And so it's, do you want to be known as that with that asterisk that it's not full time? It's just the Premier League era.
Yeah, because Shearer played before the Premier League launched anyway, hasn't he? So he's got more than that 260.
20 odd goals. Yeah, 20 odd goals for Southampton before it turned into the Premier League. So it'd be interesting to see the mindset of Harry Kane. People are saying he's got young family. Even better. That's even better, to take them with the young. It's different if they're at school age and they're important stages of their life. But younger children are easy to adapt and stuff like that. Then it's, if you go to Real Madrid and you're living in Madrid, it's not as if you're going to be queuing up to board an easy jet to fly backwards and forwards to visit family and stuff. You're going to be earning a decent amount of money to be able to travel in style, and it's not far. It's a huge challenge. But I think the key to this is Ancelotti clearly has chosen Harry Kane as the most similar to Benzema.
We
may have two English players playing for Real Madrid next year, which would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane.
Right, I'm going to put some of Tapiwa's questions to you. Just wondering what else? Oh, right. So Atletico finished third, didn't they, in the end? So how disappointing was that? They lose out on €8 million, I think it is, between in terms of prize money. I always find it interesting when people talk about that's an incentive for the players. Well, not necessarily, because that means buy someone to replace you.
No, it wouldn't matter to them. And they run out of players at the end. When you looked at their squad, you looked at the bench, and who's that? Lots of injuries. They went with a smaller squad. They just ran out of steam at the end. But I think in general, I would put, I had to give a real big think about, it's a good season. And I don't think it is. They've had a good second half, terrible in Europe. And if they'd have got that win and finished above Real Madrid, even then I would have thought they've never threatened to be in the title race. Terrible in the first half of the season, much improved. In the second half, they need to strengthen. Jean Felix is another interesting one.
Yeah.
And he's going to be coming back.
Yeah,
they'll look to move him on. Dare I say...
Say again.
You did hear me right. Dare I say Real Madrid? Be interested in João Felix. I mean, that would be a hell of a transfer, wouldn't it? I mean, in terms of style of play, he might come into that list of somewhere down the line as a potential replacement for Benzema. Still a good player, still very young. He is that type that can play up front and drop off and stuff like that, and we shouldn't forget his quality, but he's the... that would be a hell of a story, wouldn't it, to Atletico to foist off a player they don't particularly want to their neighbours. But so they've got players like him to come back. The smaller squad, suited Simeone. And it works for them the second half of the season. They just come up short in this game. They were close. Jorge Pascual, the 92nd minute, 20-year-old midfielder, one of those players we see get an opportunity towards the end of the season, scored the equaliser. Carrera with a couple of goals, Witzel with a red card. Griezmann assisting both goals again. Same old, same old. But Atletico, I think, I can't make up my mind whether it's good, bad, or par. I'm probably leaning towards not in the whole season under par.
Yeah, it's a slightly, it's like a grubby par would be another way of putting it. In that third and not winning a trophy, you sort of think, okay, fair. Because if you said next season they finish third, they don't win a trophy, you wouldn't say Simeone out. But there were a point genuinely having discussions, weren't we, a few months back about whether this would have to be his last season and all of that. And then they've come strong. Just gives you hope, doesn't it? Sometimes a season, it's the timing is everything sometimes, isn't it, in our perspective of what's successful. And, you know, is that you can lose a game 5-2, but you score the last two goals and people go, not as miserable.
The topic about Simeone's future wasn't, it was pretty conclusive, wasn't it? We all thought that was it. Time was up. Mm. It was the right time for him and the club to part ways. And then at the end of the season, I'm not thinking that. I'm glad he's turned things around. I'm hoping he stays. Atletico without Simeone, I just can't imagine. And I'm hoping the next year they join the other two in the title race because they've got the quality.
Yeah, that's what we need, isn't it? Yeah. Well, join the other one in the title race from this season, isn't it?
Yeah, realistically. That's a fair point. Yeah.
Right, Tapiu's question. So I'll throw them at you and we can either deflect
them. I'm worried now.
Yeah, so you can deflect them, you can all join in, or we'll do them, or you can answer them. It's always a possibility. It sounds like a politician. You can actually answer the question if you're in a radical move. Right, feel free to answer from a La Liga perspective or from across the European leagues, in your opinion. What was the best game you watched? And not what was the overall consensus best game of the season? Best game, worst game, biggest shock?
I need time on that now. Yeah. It's the morning after the last game of the season. Worst game, plenty of those, isn't there, of course? Best is the one I'll focus. I'm not going to put too much thought into the worst game of the season
because you block those out of your mind, don't you, as quickly as possible. I'll tell you what, I didn't
forget them
from the European stuff. The Bayer Leverkusen 0, Roma 0, where Roma got through with the with one literally one shot in the whole game, one long range shot in the game, but it was enough to get them through.
I'm going to put some thought into that. Come up with one.
Okay, best game, worst game, biggest shock. So I don't know if that could mean overall or in terms of a single game.
Yeah.
Worst.
These are a good question for everyone.
Yeah, but it's probably a whole podcast, to be fair, isn't it? Be a producer. Worst signing.
Biggest shock. Who beat Barcelona out of the blues? Almeria. That was a big shock, wasn't it? That was a shock. Real Madrid suffered a few, actually, this season, which has led them to not being serious challengers to Barcelona. They had a period where they lost games and you think, oh, that's a surprise, which is the new version of La Liga, where those games are happening more frequently now because of the quality throughout the league is getting stronger.
Going down on 40 points is a sign of that depth, isn't it, in the league? Worst signing, best signing as well. So best signing, because there was a few, I thought, like Gazzaniga, Takekubo, Marici. I know he was on loan before that, wasn't he? So some of these guys, there weren't many signings, were there? It wasn't a glittering summer of transfer or January. So, and it's interesting as well, because when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, he's good, but no, he was there before. He was good, but he was there before. That's quite often the case with the signing, isn't it? You should be patient with them. But we don't. We want it to be like Haaland in the Premier League, don't we? And come in and blast 50 goals. And then it's an easy one for everyone to call, isn't it? Whereas sometimes you should probably assess a signing over a few years.
Is Hossulu a good signing? Was he a good signing for Espanyol?
It's a good question.
Yes. And they got relegated. So there is no, it doesn't work. Molina at Atletico, I'm looking down the teams, the list of games yesterday. He got better, didn't he, as the season went on? Nahuel Molina, well, playing the World Cup and did well.
It's a fair point that the team, surely, which is the team, Takekubo, you would say, and that club has done well.
Yes, so it justifies the definition of a good signing, as opposed to Hossulu, who's a good signing, but the team have been relegated.
But it's not his fault that they've been relegated on the other side, is it? You know, he's banged in some enough goals, hasn't he? But yes, he does. Two relegations in two seasons.
I've got an answer to one of these. The best non-sale was Nicholas Jackson.
Yes.
Failure in a medical. Completely revamped Vieira in the second half of the season.
The new Nicholas Jackson who arrived in January. Yeah. And he asked manager of the season. Manager of the season, which I think is easy, isn't it? I think.
Chevy is the easy answer.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really see. Do you see a team? Well, who's punched
Aguasil?
Above? So who else has punched above Arisetti. Their weight in the season? So Mallorca, Osasuna, Girona, have all done better than you would have thought. I would have thought,
It's a small group, I would say.
Yeah,
if I'm being honest, like most leagues, certainly like the Premier League this season, I think there's, when I was writing down those teams, ticking off Barcelona, or ticked off Real Madrid, probably not. Atletico, probably not. Real Sociedad, yes. Villarreal, I think fifth, which has done enough for Quique Setién, I presume, to still stay in the job. Betis, 60 points, probably not. I think they could have done better than that. But they finished sixth.
I'd say it's okay. I think if you offered sixth next season, you'd say, yeah, fine. That's fine.
Yeah. And then Osasuna, Athletic Club, I think have been below par.
Slightly below par, isn't it? Yeah.
Mallorca, definitely. Yeah. Good season. Mm. Girona, definitely a good season. Rayo, another good season. Sevilla, it's been a whole lot. They've been a complete basket case. From day one.
Yeah.
And yet somehow I've ended up Champions League football.
Yeah.
What would you give?
European trophy.
Would you give them a tick, cross, par? I guess it's got to be a tick again, isn't it?
Of course, because you won a trophy. So really, if you think in terms of whose season would you have in Spain, Barcelona, and then Sevilla? Because I know you wouldn't choose to go the pathway that they went, are they in the Champions League? Did they win a trophy? Yes.
The European Super Cup next season.
Yeah.
And stole the limelight from Betis, who were clearly the better of the two teams in the city this season. And all of a sudden, there Betis go, oh, not again, really? Finish miles above you in the league. And you've never been close to us all season, and now you've stolen our limelight. So it's been an interesting season. Manager of the year, I guess. I think Aguasil, Xavi. Probably asked. Is that how we see it? And in Xavi's case, I think I think I would go Xavi actually. Because it's been spectacularly good, but because I think it's not been an easy job.
Yeah.
For him to do, and he's performed well, introduced loads of new players, it's developed as the season has gone on. They were strong defensively. We didn't expect that. There's new players. Some have been hits. Some have been not successful, but he's kind of maneuvered himself well through a difficult season and retained the level of consistency that Real Madrid didn't do.
Yeah, I think it's an easy call. I think obviously whoever wins the league is always a candidate for manager of the season. It doesn't have to be. I mean, Thomas Tuchel's not the manager of the season in the Bundesliga, But he's obviously starts on the short list, doesn't he? Whoever wins the league, and then you think, I'll dig out our pre-season predictions. But Real Madrid were the favourites pre-season, and Barcelona have won the league. And Barcelona had loads of things that could have gone wrong. And he's steered them through unspectacular, but perfectly efficiently, and they've won the league. So, it's a massive success, isn't it?
Definitely. Yes, I would say so.
Right. Get us your teams of the season in. Have you had time, Terry? Have you done?
Wanted to see what the last game of the season brought. And see if anyone else starred. I mean, Griezmann was in it, and he confirmed it with his performance again yesterday. I wanted to wait and see in case anything that massive happened. Who went down?
I agree with this. I'm in the Football Writers Association, and you have to vote before the end of the season. And I always think, why? I get it when you were sending a letter off to London.
But
you literally just click a button now on your phone. And you think, well, why don't we just do it the day after the season finishes?
Yeah.
Because the title race.
How long will it take to.
Yeah. And then it will literally compile it for them, won't it? And tell you the answer. I find it baffling that. I always find it weird that the Ballon d'Or is done. Why isn't it done at the end of the season? Of the European season, where all of the Ballon d'Or contenders are from. So just do it in the summer. Anyway.
Yeah, when he used to vote in the PFA player of the year, it was done just after Christmas.
Yeah. So what are you voting on? Julian asked us a question, by the way, he tweeted in about the whistling Espanyol fans. So we presume that's the shocking decision that went against them.
Yeah, protest against the referees. And you were right, the Griezmann goal has been shown by using technology that wasn't over the line in the draw against Atletico Madrid. And then, of course, they had that dreadful goal disallowed last week for the non-foul. Cesar Montes was penalised for. But that's not the reason why Espanyol gone down. Can't blame it on.
They've been shocking. There were two big decisions, weren't they, at a crucial time?
Well, against Valencia, if they beat Valencia, that turns that game around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If they did get the win against Valencia, they would have gone into the game against Almeria at home with in their hands. And it would have made life more difficult for Valencia, who had a point less. So it has been important. I do get that. But over the period of the season, there are obvious reasons why they haven't survived.
Yeah.
It's a shame from their perspective. But the whistling, I think, it was similar to the protest the week before, in the game before, where they were showing their dissent towards the officials in La Liga.
Right, I think we'll leave it there. So we'll be back and do some regular podcasts. We'll do team of the season stuff and have a look back and compare the actual performances to the pre-season predictions, sort of marking everyone's homework kind of stuff. But we'll also do some Patreon Q&As as well. So if you want to do those with us, then you need to become a Patreon, which will only cost you a few quid, a few dollars a month, which is patreon.com/LTEL. Thank you to all the Patreons. Thank you to everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed the season, and we'll be back with more podcasts. We're not going far, so we'll see you all soon.